Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
9:09 now on this Thursday morning. Fun fact that you may or may not know, the last Saints quarterback that was drafted, the last drafted Saints quarterback to start and win a game for them was, do you know? Don't look it up. Just keep thinking about it, and I'll let you know after we talk to Peyton Malone, our friend, WWL Louisiana weather forecaster. How you doing, Peyton?
Hey, I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I'll tell you, it's Danny Werfel.
Okay.
Whom I met in person is a lot bigger than you would think.
Well,
there you go. Let's talk about solar flare, because I saw this. I saw your tweet, and look, man, one of the things I always wanted to do, a bucket list item, was to see the Northern Lights. Have you ever
Absolutely.
Seen them or not?
No. You know, this past May, they were seen across parts of our area, but I was nowhere that I could see them.
And even so, if you go to Iceland, you got to go at the right time of year. They're
you
not
do.
Visible.
Well, it's all about the sun, and you got to time it all right here. So, and it's so hard to do.
Tell me what's going on with the solar flare, and will we be able to see the Northern Lights? And a lot of people listen online, so we may not just be talking about southeastern Louisiana.
Sure. All right, so what has happened here is a big CME, coronal mass ejection, happened on October 8th. That is an event where the sun essentially releases and shoots off a bunch of particles that are solar material and magnetic fields. Those are arriving at Earth about right now, in fact. They're starting to approach us this morning.
Wait, what's coming?
Well, it's just a magnetic field solar material that the sun releases.
So no umbrella needed or anything?
No umbrella, right. Yeah. Unless you're out in space and you need a big umbrella that protects you. But so here's what's happening here. It's coming on in, it's impacting the Earth, and it's interacting with our magnetic field of the Earth. Some of that gets in at the poles, the North and South Pole, and whenever those charged particles enter our atmosphere, they get excited. They excite the atmosphere, and you get colors, and that's what the Northern Lights are. So this is a fairly big one that happened. Right now, they base it on a scale of G1 to G5, just like categories of hurricanes, right? G5 is a major solar event. A G1 is not that big of a deal. Right now, they have it as a G4 watch. So the solar storm will be arriving throughout today, and the bigger the solar storm, the more widespread the Northern Lights will be. And so with the bigger number here of a G4, maybe a G5, you can sometimes see those as far south as the Gulf Coast. That's what happened back in May. It was a G5 storm, and we were able to see them across parts of even Florida.
What time would that be tonight, Peyton?
Well, you would have to wait until it at least gets dark enough. So I'm saying anywhere from 8 o'clock to 2 a.m. is a good time to go out there and look. The thing is, we don't really know exactly how strong the event is going to be until it's about a million miles from Earth, which will likely be happening within the next 30 minutes to 2 hours. We have satellites that are stationed that far away, and we get the data that's coming in. And then once we have that data coming in, we'll have a really good idea on how strong this could be. So if it comes in stronger than expected, they may bump it up to a G5. If that's the case, then we have a higher chance of seeing them. If it comes in at a G4 or maybe less, then we are less likely to see them down here on the Gulf Coast. So we're just kind of in a wait-and-watch phase right now.
Is this, I don't mean to make it confusing with an eclipse or to even make a comparison to that other than a time frame, is it like where you got 20 minutes to see it, or does it last?
Typically, they last hours. It's not a very quick event most of the time, especially if it's a big, strong one that you can see all the way down here. I think there'll be a couple hours to see them. So my advice is to stay plugged into social media. That's the best way, because
Peyton Malone, for example, on Twitter.
There you go. Well, yeah. I may be in bed when it happens, but I may stay up. We'll see.
All right.
If it starts to roll in, typically you will see them come in from east to west. So last time we started to get rumblings of far parts of Europe, like down south, like in France and Spain and places maybe into northern Africa, which are equivalent to here latitude-wise, if we start to see Northern Lights that direction, we start to say, wait a minute. And then they start to get closer, and you start to see reports coming in from maybe the Carolinas or even Florida. And if that's the case, then that's when you want to run outside and check it out. Now, it's important you're away from city lights, because last time, if you were in the city of New Orleans or Kenner and Metairie, you couldn't really see much. Even with a long exposure camera, there's just too many light pollution from the city. But if you go to the lakefront and do long exposure, you can sometimes see them. But your best bet is north of the lake, even north of I-12. Get away from the city lights. And if it's strong enough, you may be able to see a little bit of it.
All right, real quick before I let you go, the jog south by Milton made all the difference in the world for Tampa, did it not?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, by 5 miles, they missed some catastrophic surge. Now, Tampa still got hammered. I'm sure you've seen some of the pictures and videos. You see that crane that fell downtown, fell in that building?
Yeah.
The roof, which I think it was cloth of the what do they call it there?
Baseball stadium?
Yeah, the other baseball stadium. That was ripped off. But, yeah, they had winds over 100 miles an hour in Tampa and over a foot of rain. But that surge stayed just to their south, really from Sarasota all the way down to Fort Myers. That's where they got the high storms.
That would be the difference between Tampa Bay, the water being pushed in or pushed out, correct?
Yeah, that I made landfall just south of there.
And you're saying 5 miles difference?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it would have been a 5 mile jog, 5 to 15 miles. And, you know, we can't forecast that. So it's just, it really is amazing that it went south. Of course, it still impacted people.
Right. But you got to go to major population centers and everything else. You don't wish anything bad on anybody.
No, you don't.
That could have
been
catastrophic.
You're just glad when it's not you. So.
Yep. Amen. Thank you, Peyton. Appreciate it as always. Peyton,
good luck tonight. Watching the sky.
There you go. All right. WWR Louisiana forecaster. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Jason Wagasback, president of Film Louisiana. The Governor Landry's tax proposal would, I think he's addressed doing away with tax credits for the film industry. We'll talk about what effect that could have when we return on WWL. 20-something they started. I've not been around that long, but I bought my first house as a young guy in the 80s in Algiers because everybody in Algiers went to 5th District. That's what you did. Then when it came time to build a house in Belchase, I stuck with 5th District because I liked the friendly local service, and I also liked the one closing construction loan that I got and that you can still get if you're building a home. Loans to buy, build, refinance, even a HELOC, a home equity line of credit. I've all had them all with 5th District Savings Bank, and you'd be surprised at the friendly relationship you develop with them over decades. 5th District offers great mortgage products, rates are competitive, and you cannot beat that friendly local service. When you're ready, call them, 504-363-6505, or go to 5thdistrict.com for 5th District Savings Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. All right, here we go. 919, Tommy Tucker, WWL. We've been talking about the governor's proposed changes to the state's tax structure. Noel Norman spoke to him yesterday. You can go to WWL.com and listen to that later if you want to hear what the governor had to say. One of the things he's talked about is reducing or eliminating credits to the film industry in Louisiana. Jason Wagasback joins us now, president of Film Louisiana, to talk about that. Hey, Jason, how are you?
Hey, Tommy. Thanks for having me this morning. Hey, before we jump into that, I want to let you know, and I want to give my heart out to the residents of Florida. We all know how that has been here in southern Louisiana. We know that feeling. We also just had a massive amount of crew members from caterers to linesmen that headed out that way to go and give some help from the film industry into Florida. So we really want to have our thoughts and prayers out to them right now.
Amen. You know, the other thing, I'm glad you said that, because we have a lot of evacuees here in town, and the shoe is on the other foot for a change. So if you do encounter anybody that's out of town, it's an evacuee, remember what it was like when you were evacuated from New Orleans and treat them as you would like to have been treated. I'm glad you said that, Jason.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about Film Louisiana. It used to be the Louisiana Film Entertainment Association. What is it, and what do you all do?
Well, we are the same great organization that's been around for 14 years. We obviously educate and promote the film industry and the sustainability of the film program through making sure that we're staying connected with legislators to understand the economic impact, as well as promote the industry like we just did recently last month in Los Angeles, hosting a large party for several studios and producers. So we're here to promote and to sustain the industry in the state of Louisiana.
It seems like whenever you talk about tax credits, people tend to zoom in, pardon the pun, on film and TV and all so forth. But there are a lot of industries in Louisiana that get tax credits. Accurate?
Yeah, there's over 200 industries in the state of Louisiana that are offered a tax credit or incentive program.
What kind of impacts does the film industry have on Louisiana economically?
Well, on average, we have $1 billion in sales to local businesses in the state of Louisiana. 10,000 jobs are provided in the state each year, and of those 10,000 jobs, $360 million in Louisiana local payroll on an annual basis goes right into the state of Louisiana and the local residents here. It's a massive impact, my friend. It's $6.32 for every dollar that is doled out from the state comes back into the local economy.
So you're saying, because people, when it comes down to it, you know, Jason, they want to know, does it cost more than it brings in? But it gives more, what you're saying, than it takes, right?
Absolutely. And in fact, in 2023, the legislative state auditor, Michael Wagasback, actually testified in the Senate, and he said that the overall motion picture tax credit program appears to have a positive impact on the state's economy because it generates more household income than it costs the state. So if you think about that, if we have $180 million that's in the part of the incentive package that goes to these projects that are coming to the state, and $360 million a year come into just Louisiana local residents, that already impacts the economy and impacts the massive impact, the massive fact that it is a positive to the state of Louisiana. But then you also get another $700 million in spending on top of that residential payroll. That's just massive.
One thing I do know from firsthand experience, and I had no idea until I went through the process, I got a small part in a movie with George Foreman. And first of all, the amount of people that were working on the project and the professionalism and the seriousness with which they took their jobs amazed me.
Thank you for that. You know, we're a well-oiled machine. We do compare ourselves to the military a lot of the times. We come in and we take over an area within 24 hours and put it back the way it was or better than when we found it when we leave. We really do work very efficiently in this industry.
You think it's going to be a lot of, and I'm just saying from an outsider's perspective, you think it's going to be a lot of screwing around, a lot of, you know, I'm trying to think of a nice, clean way to say this. A lot of them just say messing around, but there's none of that, a lot of grabbe going on, but there's not that going on at all. It's very serious business because there's a lot of money involved. What is your reaction to Governor Landry calling for a special session that could potentially challenge those tax credits like the film program?
Look, as the voice of film in Louisiana, look, we really appreciate Governor Landry's attention to the state tax structure. And we actually see this as a prime opportunity to attract even more out-of-state investment from major film and entertainment companies. So we look at this as a positive, and we're working with the governor and the legislature, to improve Louisiana's business climate, and we'll help to ensure that our film program will continue to stay strong and be an economic driver that it has been for the last 22 years. So we see this as an opportunity.
You know, we had that problem a while back with the filing for credits or not filing for credits and what you can count on, what you can't. I think what sometimes gets lost in this is, again, going back to the entertainment nature of it. At the end of it all, it is a business, and it is a lot of money involved in this, a lot of financing involved. So people have to know, the people that are in a production business, they have to know years ahead of time what they can count on and what they can't before they plan a project or go forward on a project, which means there has to be a degree of certainty, right?
Absolutely, and that is the nature of any business. You want to understand what your forecast looks like. What does my 2, my 5, my 10 years look like ahead? And so creating sustainability and creating predictability in our program is what we have really stood upon in these last 20 years that we've had a successful program here. And you're right, film and television and studios, they plan, you know, well in advance. You know, you had the great series from AMC with Interview with the Vampire and Mayfair Witches, and they planned well in advance on how they were going to lay that out and are still continuing to lay that out and continuing to do great business here in the state. But just having that predictability is something that obviously makes sure that we continue to have that type of production over.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Over again.
Talk about some of the numbers, if you will, for people that think it's out of, and I'm getting texts here from people, you know, people that think they know but they don't know. They think it's all Hollywood people that are getting the money and leaving the state, etc. What are the numbers, the stats, the real evidence show?
I mean, look, it came directly from an economic impact study from the state. From LED, again, I repeat, 10,000 jobs annually. Interestingly enough, we just did our own internal study with the unions here in town, and we accounted for production jobs, just production jobs, We're over 15,000 in our peak year of 2022. That didn't account for any of the actors because we didn't even get any of the extras and the actors accounted for, and those are going to be in the thousands along with the vendors. So you have to realize there's a lot of activity that goes on, not just on a film set, but outside. All of those ancillary businesses create a massive ripple effect that create an economic impact in communities and throughout the state. Speaking of, in the last 5 years, 33 parishes have seen film in their parish in the last 5 years. I don't know if we can say that about some of the other major industries we have with agriculture and oil. We're spread throughout the state. And we also have almost every major university, 18 higher education institutions in the state of Louisiana teach digital media or film in their program. We are creating a really robust crew and a robust educational source for our locals to be able to be impacted directly by getting right into the film industry. And we're really reducing that brain drain. Obviously, we have a real big problem with people leaving the state of Louisiana. And we are one of the big industries that's keeping people here. We're providing those opportunities right now here in the state of Louisiana.
And one of the things as the governor attempts to rewrite the entire tax code, and it is still a work in progress, he admitted so much yesterday, and I think Richard Nelson will say the same thing, one of the architects of it. But you have to look at, and as you were saying, ripple effect, I drew my little reminder, pebble in a pond drawing, because if you will, Jason, talk about how it spreads out to local vendors, and it's not just for the people that work on the set.
Well, if you think about this, when a production comes into town, they set up offices. They hire crew. We have to go out and get all of those resources that you would for any administrative office. We have to feed people. Our crews are anywhere between 200 and 400 people deep. And then sometimes we need extras. Like I have a show right now that's probably going to need about 500 extras over the course of the next month. And they got to feed all those people. So where does that food come from? It comes from here locally. But we have a massive amount of lumber, a massive amount of painting materials, a massive amount of steel, a massive amount of just resources needed, and they can find right here that are being resourced directly from local businesses that we've created. And it goes, again, it goes beyond just the area that the filming activity is happening in. We have looked back in our own data through figuring out how and how far the tentacles go in the state of Louisiana, and things like Greyhound that was filmed in Baton Rouge had to go all the way to Lake Charles, Louisiana to find boat parts to create some of the sets that they were doing with Tom Hanks. So you have to realize these things aren't just secluded to one specific location or one specific area. They are all over the state of Louisiana.
One thing I did notice in my limited film career the day I spent on the set was that there are a lot of people, and as we talk about jobs, a lot of elderly people or retired people or sometimes disabled people use this as a way to supplement their income because they do have the ability to sit around all day and wait until they're called for that crowd scene, et cetera. And that is an important part of this, is it not?
You are absolutely right. I get emails all the time asking for how they can get more opportunities. I have family members constantly calling me how they can become extras on specific shows. We actually, another study we did internally within our organization is we wanted to find out how many of those people in the state of Louisiana are actually part of that crop who is interested in becoming extras. There are 89,000 people registered in the state of Louisiana on mycasting.com, which is basically a website that gets you an opportunity to become an extra. So if you can imagine, there's a massive amount of people in the state of Louisiana directly interested in these types of opportunities that you just speak of.
So when it comes to ripple effect and a pebble in a pond, that can also be the other way, right? So what is your concern if they take away these tax credits and imagine those ripples going back into a vacuum, I guess? What disappears?
Well, you're right. We will see a detriment in the industry if they do decide to keep that as part of the overall massive tax structure package that he's pushing forward. But you have to realize, you know, we're one in 40 states. We were the first to incentivize this back in 2002, and now 40 states in the U.S. now have a film incentive program. And that's because they've seen the direct effects of tourism. They've seen the direct effects of what's happening in the economic engine that we actually bring, because we actually spend money and we hire people to be able to do the jobs. It's not an automated system here. We have to hire physical people, and we have to spend good, hard-earned money in local communities to be able to make these projects work. And you've seen states that actually got rid of their program a long time ago that are now getting back massively. And states that are right next to us, Texas is really trying to push hard to get a really big program in their state. North Carolina, who actually had one until 2013 that was rampant, but decided to mess with their tax program and then brought it back 5 years later because they realized the impact that they were missing out on. We have created something. We were the first to be able to create this. We've created a large, deep, very talented crew base here, and we've got the infrastructure here, too. We've spent almost $300 million in infrastructure to allow for this type of industry to thrive, and it has been. So we obviously just look for this opportunity that the governor's giving to create a new economic impact that can drive more of this investment into the state that we look forward to.
I don't know if you went into this or not, but do you have a number somebody texting about the average salary that the film industry provides?
$65,000 a year is the average salary with benefits for each average crew member that comes and works in the film industry.
So where does the lieutenant governor stand on this? Because I think he's a big proponent of the film industry, is he not?
He is. I actually talked to him this morning. He's fired up. He loves the industry. He obviously has done many studies on the tourism that shows that, you know, we have about $1.2 billion of tourism that is directly affected by watching shows that come from the state of Louisiana. We've done a bunch of interesting studies lately, too, Tommy. You know, I think you might have seen the show Hitman that came out, the most recent one, Rebel Ridge. Both of them here, filmed right here in Louisiana. Hitman was actually set in New Orleans. He played an NOPD officer, and he was also a UNO professor. Yeah. And we started to look at the impact of media, the equivalency, the ad equivalency that you get from that type of impact of a film that's been here through news articles, click-throughs, and people that are obviously watching the show. And just from Hitman alone, it derived almost $2 million in ad equivalency over the course of 1 month. That was 600 million people or 600 million click-throughs that went through those sources of that movie that was derived right here in New Orleans, Louisiana. So the impact goes far and wide. There's the media outreach. There's the brand recognition. There's who we are in Louisiana and how it's impacting people from outside of our state and outside the country, for that matter, that want to come and see who we are and what we do and hopefully do more business here.
I think another important part of this for people that have not been down Chapultepec or looked down Market Street, there's been some capital investment, has there not?
Absolutely. We've seen quite a bit. You're absolutely right. And we're starting to hopefully continue to see more here in the city.
So what happens then if this goes away? What happens to those people who made the capital investment? And I'll follow up before we let you go with this. And that is, are you hearing rumblings in the industry about the tax credit program being in jeopardy? And is that affecting future projects? And how important is it? I'll ask this big Bobby Hebert question all at one time. How important is it that this gets decided pretty quickly?
Well, that is important. Obviously, we don't want the PR mess. It has, you know, somewhat begun. We have heard from studios asking the questions, but they all understand politics throughout every state and obviously in our state. And right now, we're just in the process of understanding what the plan is from the governor, and so is the state legislature. I think they're really, you know, chewing on this and figuring out what works and what doesn't work. And again, I just want to reiterate, we are behind the fact that the state tax structure changing is going to be a good thing for the state of Louisiana. And we want to be a part of this in the fact that we want to obviously see more investment in our industry. We obviously implore him to not wipe away our tax credits, of course, but we obviously want to continue doing great business here, continuing educating our locals and communities and giving great jobs and opportunities to people that are really interested in what it is that we have created here over the last 20 years. And I really think we have a massive, massive opportunity here to take advantage of what's happening in technology and what's happening in the world around us and really be something that we can put our foot forward and say, Louisiana did that, and now look at Louisiana and how they've grown in this aspect of the industry.
Jason, if somebody's listening and want to get involved in this industry, how do they go about it?
FilmLouisiana.com. Please come and sign up. You can become a member there. You can get all the information that you would ever want or need about our program, but you can also check out the website. It has a massive amount of information. We also have ways that you can donate to the program or donate to the affiliation of organization to help us obviously push the marketing and PR for what we know is one of the greatest economic impacts the state's seen in a while.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate your time and your insights. Jason Wagasback, president of Film Louisiana, and the governor's effort to, and again, you can go back and listen to what he had to say to Newell yesterday. it is a huge effort. And I think where we are right now is like we're making a gumbo and we're trying to decide, or remaking, coming up with a new gumbo, right? And we're trying to decide, well, does this ingredient go in there? Do we keep this one in there? Do we take it out? Do we add this? And I think it is a work in progress, and that's where we are. We're going to take a break. We come back, we'll talk with Greg Fisher, PIO for the Louisiana Highway Safety Commission. There was a fatal motorcycle accident not too long ago. And that got me to thinking, this is the time of year where people get the motorcycles out and really do a lot of riding. And we want to talk about motorcycle safety, distracted driving awareness, and more when we return. 9:36, 24 till 10. Traffic now, WWL. 9:43, 17 till 10, October 10th, Thursday morning. Tommy Tucker, WWL. And I know May is Motorcycle Awareness Month, but with the weather turning nice and a recent motorcycle fatality, I thought it'd be a good idea to have Greg Fisher on with us, a PIO, Public Information Officer for the Louisiana Highway Safety Commission, to talk about motorcycle safety, distracted driving awareness. And I'll open the Oakenheart Jeweler Talk and Text line here, 504-260-1870. With the idea of improving the lines of communication, if you're a motorcyclist and you have a beef with drivers, you can let me know what your beef is. If you're a driver and you have a beef with motorcyclists, you can let me know what your beef is at 504-260-1870. With that, we welcome in Greg Fisher. How you doing, Greg?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay. I thought it was important in October. The weather's getting nice. I know, like I said, May is Motorcycle Awareness Month, but a lot of people could be riding. What do both drivers and motorcyclists need to know about each other so as to keep everybody safe?
Sure. Well, there are a few things that we should mention here. So, first of all, motorcyclists are vulnerable road users, you know, meaning if they get into a crash, they have little to no protection. We have to remember that. And, you know, drivers of larger vehicles, normal vehicles, should be aware of their surroundings at all times. You know, tips that we would tell everybody in this arena is just obey, you know, observe traffic laws and drive the speed limits. You know, I think that's a big thing when we talk about motorcycle safety. You know, no drinking and driving. You know, I think it hasn't changed a whole lot, but, you know, since 2018, about 30% of all the motorcycle fatalities that we've had in Louisiana involve a drunk driver. You know, then, and this, I think, you know, I don't think you will see a motorcyclist using his or her cell phone on the road while they're riding. So, you know, the third, I mean, biggest issue is, you know, putting away your cell phone while you're driving. And, you know, on that note, there's a few things that I would love to say about distracted driving.
Please.
I mean, first of all, in 2023, according to the Center for Analytics and Research in Transportation Safety at LSU, you know, 371 people were killed in crashes involving a distracted driver. Almost 10,000 people, though, suffered serious injury in a crash involving a distracted driver. And that's only the cases that we know of. Of course, you know, when a police officer shows up to the scene of a crash and there's, you know, a fatality, it becomes very difficult for them to properly report that this was due to a cell phone or that this was due to another distraction inside the vehicle. You know, we know that it's underreported, but even with the cases that we know, you know, we lost 811 people in motor vehicle, preventable motor vehicle crashes in 2023 in Louisiana, and almost half of those involved a distracted driver. So, you know, when you're driving in a car and you take your eyes, you know, when you're using your cell phone, for instance, it's like a triple threat, we say, because you have this visual deal where, you know, your eyes are off the road, so your visual is skewed, and then, you know, your manual you know, your hands are off the wheel if you're holding the phone. And then your cognitive is also screwed up because your mind is off of driving. So it's a big deal. I mean, the best that we can do in the state is to kind of bully people who are holding a cell phone constantly while they're driving and saying, look, man, you're in the minority here. This is not the way, you know. Most people are paying attention to driving when they're driving. And so if you are the type who is playing with your phone the whole time, you're not doing it right. So, you know, it's this awareness that we have here. You know, we're so happy to be a guest on your show, Tommy, and to be able to share this, you know, to raise awareness, because it's this piece. You know, it's the paid advertising piece for us in highway safety. When you see our ads for you know, put down the phone on Facebook and on the computer, you know, and Google and on our billboards and commercials and et cetera. And then it's the enforcement piece. I mean, you know, people need to remember that if a police officer sees you texting or, you know, playing on social media or whatever while you're driving, they can pull you over and they can write you a ticket. And that ticket is not cheap. I mean, it's $500 for the first offense. It's $1,000 for the subsequent offense. And, you know, if you get into a crash due to your phone, you know, you're looking at that $1,000 on top of everything else. So, you know, that's the three-legged stool here that we hope will change behavior.
I think sometimes people think that, this is just my theory, I have no statistics on this at all, but I think we tend to believe that we can get away with texting and driving or reading the phone and driving or doing whatever with the phone and driving, when in fact we really aren't. It is the other person that's defensively driving that's preventing anything bad from happening. And when the other person is not defensively driving, that's when the bad things really happen with the texting and the distracted driving. That's just my opinion. I don't know. But as we talk about this, people text in and say, come to the North Shore and see all the crazy motorcycles that drive in between cars and lanes of traffic. I have no respect for these motorcycles. Well, first of all, it's not the machines themselves that are driving. It's people. And they are human beings. We need to remember that. Somebody else says, and bicyclists do not follow the rules of the road. Do not stop at stop signs. You want to be respected. Follow the rules. It seems to me, Greg, that this is becoming a personal thing when I see messages like this, and it's the safety aspect of it gets lost in the middle of all of it, right?
No, it certainly does. And, of course, there are going to be people, you know, using the roads improperly, using their vehicles properly, whether they are, you know, riding their motorcycle improperly or whether they're driving a vehicle improperly. You know, one thing I'd like to mention here is that when you see a motorcyclist kind of weaving behind you on the road, that's something that they do on purpose in order to make themselves easier to see in your rearview mirror. So, you know, don't think that they're driving erratically, especially if they're going the speed limits in that situation. You know, that's just a tactic for them to stay safer. You know, we did lose 97 people on the road, motorcyclists on the roads in 2023, and that's up. I mean, that's the highest it's been for some time. I mean, certainly over the past 6 years. But just last year, they started to rope in drivers of mopeds, e-bikes. So, you know, motorized bicycles into the motorcycle statistics at LSU. And I think they did that because after COVID, you know, people during COVID when they were home, you know, they started to get out more and walk and ride bikes more. And I think just to cut costs, people started to ride mopeds again and they're riding them. But unfortunately, it's still, you know, not the safest place to be, unfortunately. So, you know, I think that's something that we have to look out for, too, now. You know, watch out for bicyclists. I mean, we lose tens, you know, we lost 35 bicyclists last year. We usually, pedestrians, we lost 147 pedestrians in 2023. And so if somebody's crossing the road and you're on your phone and you're driving a Yukon, you know, let's just, I'm not picking on Yukons in a beautiful car, but, if you're sending or reading a text while you're driving, it takes your eyes off the road for roughly 5 seconds, right? And at 55 miles an hour, it's like driving the length of a football field with no vision.
Thank you, Greg. We're out of time. I appreciate your efforts. Look, y'all, it's not personal, right? It's just business. We're just driving around. And, you know, this woman was on the phone saying these blanker blankers trying to get killed as she hit somebody and killed him and then kept going, and now she's in jail. So the police can go back and investigate to see if you were on the phone or not. Just be courteous to each other and try to avoid an accident. That's all we're saying. We'll be back, WWL. 9:58, 2 till 10, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Dave Cohen joins us now, who's in for Newell. And, you know, the text line, Dave, with people going back and forth about the motorcycles and the cars, it's not a competition. All we're trying to do is get from point A to point B safely. If the other guy or woman is a jackass, that doesn't give you the right to kill them or to kill the next person driving a similar vehicle because the person before them did something stupid. Because either way, you don't get an accident. You don't want that to happen.
You do not. And road rage just leads to nothing good. And it really is a shame that so many of us are so able to be overtaken by our rage just because we're behind the wheel. We act like different people when we're driving.
It's not personal, it's just business. What you got coming up for Newell today?
Well, we're going to hear from Police Chief Ann Kirkpatrick after one of her officers today shot a alleged burglar. They've had a series of break-ins uptown where people are going into homes and stealing guns. They said it happened again this morning. An officer shot the suspect.
No beef with that.
We'll find out the details about that. Peter King joins us live from Florida in the strike zone from Hurricane Milton. We'll find out if we're getting a better picture now of just how bad the damage is. We'll also talk about the fact that credit card debt is at a record high at a time that credit card interest rates are at a record high. My goodness, people are racking up some serious credit card debt.
Not me. Dave's got that and a whole lot more coming up. He's in for Newell. He'll talk to some more people.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.